So we want to pick this up now by just quoting this one over in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's talking about this whole thing about faith. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 9. You can read this later. It's in the context. But it says that the spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit. Faith is one of those spiritual gifts. And it has to be given by the Spirit. I think it's in verse 9 it talks about, and one of those are faith. Faith has to be given by the Spirit. Are we starting to see a little picture here about Abraham? That maybe it wasn't all his faith? That maybe the Spirit of God had something to do with it? It's not like we always heard, well, God kind of opens your mind, then he stands back and sees what you're going to do. Well, that would mean God's an idiot. And we'll prove that later. I can assure you God's not an idiot. He doesn't think like you think. He thinks the way he thinks. And it's perfect and righteous. Well, let's keep on going. Spiritual gifts come from God. They are not worked up or come from man. Spiritual gifts don't come from man. And spiritual gifts, one of them is faith. It comes from God, not you. You can't do it. You can't do it. I think most of us are still here in Galatians, so it's Galatians 5. Let's read about it. We've read this so many times, but we're condensing this all for faith right here. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's read what comes from God, what comes from the Spirit, that doesn't come from you, that you can't work up, that you can't have. Only God can grant it and give it to you. Verse 22, Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit. Not Joe Blow. This is the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Uh-oh, there's that thing you thought you had. Faith. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of Abraham. And not the fruit of you. Okay, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Self-control. Self-control. That comes from God. Against such there is no law. See, there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. It's perfect. It's just. It's good. It's from your Father. And faith is from your Father. Abraham didn't have any faith of himself. He didn't work anything up. He didn't have his free choice. Didn't have that. Faith comes by God and by the Spirit. Without God giving faith, you will have none. None. Can I be any plainer? Empty glass. None. You have no faith unless your Father gives it to you through the fruit of His Spirit. This is a lot different than what the majority of you have ever heard. This is going along with a lot of you, however, after all these years in God's church, and you sit down and you look at yourself and you realize, I don't have any faith. That's right, you don't. Now, unless God grants it. And if you've been out there trying to do your own faith, God stands back. Because all the glory is going to be given to God. He's not going to share it with you. He never has to. Because you'll never have any faith on your own. And when you realize what true and right faith is, you're going to get on your knees and you're going to give God glory for the faith that He has given to you and that He will give you. While we're in Galatians, back a page or two here, Galatians 5, verses 5 and 6. It says, "For we, through the Spirit, not your choice, not your emotions, not your decision, but by the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." By faith. That's the only thing that can give you strength, is that Spirit. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision." See, nothing physical can avail anything but faith which works by love. Oh, there's that dirty word love. Uh-oh. Right across the page there, fruit of the Spirit, first one, fruit of the Spirit is love. You can't have love either, can you? We read last week in the fear of God how love does God's works. And it's through love that He has the commandments. He says, if you love me, how can you love Him? Only by the fruit of the Spirit. You can't take credit for it. God gives you that love to love Him and to carry out what love is. If you love me, keep my commandments. We know that scripture. You'll hear other groups running around, "Oh, we don't have to keep the commandments." Well, they don't, do they? And do they love God? Absolutely not. So they can say, "Lord, Lord," all they want. He doesn't hear. Now, some of them are first fruits in the Laodicean era. But they'll have a wake-up call in a while. And they'll come back to following God's commandments. Because God said they're going to. Just wait. Both of these are the fruits of the Spirit. They're given. They're not earned and not worked up. Well, just quote this for lack of time. In Ephesians 6, verse 23, Paul talks about, he's signing off this letter, and he says, "Peace and love with faith from God the Father." That's where all that comes from. Peace and love and faith come from the Father. In verse 16 of that chapter, Ephesians 6, this is where it's talking about this armor of God. You all remember that. Verse 16, it says, above all, you put on and take that shield of faith. Now, it's interesting, it says, this is the whole armor of God. Did we read anywhere in there your name? I didn't see your name in that. I didn't see my name in. This is the armor of God. This is what God gives you. This is His armor. It's not yours. Okay, let's turn over to 2 Peter 1. Now we're flirting all around this. We're giving little backgrounds of faith here and what he has to say about it. Instead of reading examples about people who had faith and then trying to convince you that you have to have faith. That's the way we always used to do it, wasn't it? There's a different message here, isn't there? There's a different messenger, and there's a different message, and it's more complete. That was the first step. At least we knew Abraham had faith, you know? The world doesn't even know that. They may have read it, but they didn't believe it. We believed it. But now we're finding out where this came from and who gets the honor of this. 2 Peter 1. You know, frankly, we're going to just skim through this very quickly. You can read the whole chapter. Anytime now I get into these words of Peter, he was the chief apostle. He was the head apostle. And there was government, and there was none over him. And all the other apostles yielded to Peter. Sent in for our tapes on God's government. The series of two, and it shows it and it proves it. And if you think otherwise, you think amiss. Because you're not following the Bible, and you're not following His Spirit. Now, he talks about faith here too. In verse 1 of 2 Peter 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, he's talking to the church, that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through the knowledge of God. That's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. Verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. And this is what God has done for us through that Spirit. Pertain unto life and goodness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory. That's what He's called us to. It's His glory, not yours. Remember the knowledge? That came from the fear of God, didn't it? It was the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Do we really believe that? We should. He goes on talking about different things here. He talks about knowledge in verse 6. Knowledge to patience and temperance, to godliness and brotherly love. It goes into charity. So all the types of fruits of His Spirit too. Verse 8. For if these things, if all of these things that we've just been talking about, be in you and abound. See, if you have the Holy Spirit, if the fruit of the Spirit is within you, if faith is in there and love is in there, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, I wasn't going to go there, but verse 9 it says, but he that lacks these things, if you don't have the Spirit, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, if you don't have that faith and love that come, what does he say? If you don't have these things, he is blind and cannot see afar off. See, you can't do it without God. God does it all. You don't do anything. Is that shocking? Well, look at the anything that you did. You know, let's look at your life in the church. You haven't accomplished anything. And you were supposed to be out there using God's Spirit, so you could present yourself good in front of God. You know what? You're still not good in front of God because you can't use God's Spirit. God's Spirit uses you. And then it's done right, and then God gets all the glory for it, where it's supposed to be. You know, thank God that God's doing this, and we aren't. Verse 21, all these prophets, all the men in the Bible you can think about, all these examples, look what it says. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Moses didn't say it. Abraham didn't say it. Elijah didn't say it. David didn't say it. John the Baptist didn't say it. Of and by themselves. But the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by their own faith. Oh, it doesn't say that. But the holy men of God, all the examples we have in the Bible, spoke and did and lived as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Did we see your name there? Did we see Abraham's name there? That he did something? No. No, we didn't understand what faith was. That's why when we read about faith, we had it all mixed up. That's where the problem was. Let's turn over to Romans. I was just thinking about the Old Testament, and that's where I turned. Just saying that we have not gone into the Old Testament really yet, except for that one in Proverbs. So we're a New Testament church. We're supposed to have faith. Well, these are the explanations of faith, and they're right there in your New Testament. And you know what? God's getting the credit and not you. You know, this hurts. This hurts a lot of you because I'm taking your pride and your self away from you and you don't like it. Now let's go through this quickly. Romans 4. Let's start with verse 31, right above chapter 4 here. It says, do we then make void the law through faith? You know, are we going to throw out the law because now we have faith? God forbid. Yes, we establish the law. We establish the law by faith. It doesn't go away. It says in verse 1 here, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Well, what are we talking here about Abraham? For if Abraham was justified by works... That's what we've all done. We've justified Abraham by his works, by his faith, didn't we? Didn't we? It says, if he was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. See, he can glory of himself, but he couldn't glory in front of God or by God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, we know that you can't believe God unless the Holy Spirit is working with you. You can't. Look at the world. Look at everyone. Look at yourself. Can't do it without the Spirit. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If we make a statue for Abraham saying what great faith he had that he worked up and he showed, then he receives this grace out of a debt and God owes him because he did some great faith. Then God would owe him, wouldn't he? But it's not that way. It's not out of debt. Verse 5 here talks about his faith is counted for righteousness. And it comes by the Spirit of God. In verse 12, we're going to go through this very quickly. talking about Abraham and the father of circumcision, to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. The Spirit was already working with him before he was circumcised. It's not in the works, it's not in the flesh, it's of God. 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world. That's fantastic what's going to happen because of Abraham, but not because Abraham did it. So he goes on to talk a little bit about Abraham here, and he talks about it was by faith and it was by grace that all of this stuff happened. In verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, but he did it, see, in faith. In faith, he and both, you know, both Abraham and Sarah both laughed at God, if you read the accounts. They both laughed. Oh, this Abraham of great faith. He was laughing at God when he first brought it up. Yeah, Abraham. Church never wanted to read that part, but it's there. Read it. Go back. Study. He didn't have the faith until God put it within him. God gives that faith. Nobody else. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that all those promises God was going to perform. That's what he did. Now, we were going to go back. You know, you can't be fully persuaded about something on your own. You just can't. You have to have the Spirit do that. It doesn't work otherwise. This was God's will. It was not Abraham's choice. I was going to go back, but for lack of time, we're not going to do that. I'll just talk about it a little bit. By God's Spirit and faith, he made Abraham do all these things. For his plan of salvation depended on it. He was setting up Israel right here. What if Abraham would have failed? What if he would have failed? Well, you wouldn't be here today, would you? It couldn't have failed. Abraham could not have failed. What man in his right mind in this satanic world would do the things that Abraham did? Take his only son, walk 3 days, never questioning, went right up there, was ready to do this, put the wood, he carried the wood, everything, all that time. His son was right there. Only God's Spirit and power could do this. You wouldn't do it, and neither would Abraham. We are of Satan's world. We've got that computer chip in us. We're not going to obey God. We're only going to do it through the power of His Spirit that causes us to do that. Back in, you can read this. When you get home, look at this. Genesis 22. Starts there in verse 10. He's got the knife in his hand. He's ready to do it. Now this is where the church has always been wrong on saying this. He's ready to kill him. Okay? In fact, I'm going to turn back there. You may want to too. Let's do this extremely fast. I'm running out of time and I do want to get this in. But I've got to do this part. Genesis 22. He's ready to do it. He's got the knife. He's going to plunge it down. And verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. In other words, he stopped him. This isn't Christ. This isn't the Father. This is an angel. The Father and the Word, shouldn't say Christ here, I should say the Word, they already did their business. They're not watching over this. They told an angel. When you see that he's going to do this, then stop him and say these words. So the angel's standing there, he's watching. That's all there was here. It wasn't his choice. And then the angel says, and he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither thou any, you know, don't do any harm to him. It says, for now I know that you fear God. This is what the angel said. God didn't worry about this. The Word didn't worry about it. Remember last week, the fear of God, it comes by the Spirit. The Spirit was all around him. It was in him. Not as a first fruit, but it was driving Abraham to do this. The glory is all God's, not Abraham's. He had no choice. The angel said, well, now I know. Now is when I have to do this. Now I have to tell you this. The 144,000, the first fruits, their names were written in the book of the Lamb before the foundation of the world. What did we depend on Abraham doing this? No, don't be ridiculous. When God does it, His Spirit's there and it's done. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord says now a second time, and then he goes on, verse 16 on here, tells him about he's going to multiply his seed, he's going to do this. The Word already told the angel what to say. He says, this is what's going to happen. So when this happens, then you break in and stop him, provide that ram for the offering, and then give him the speech. And you tell him that I'm going to make him this multitude of nations. He's going to multitude the seed, multiply his seed. God wasn't there. The Word wasn't there. The power of God's Spirit was there. It made Abraham do it. Let's get this stupidity out of our minds. Let's get this thing out of our minds that we have something to do with faith. We don't. How can you obey? Only by God's Spirit and power. It's the only way you can do it. Now let's go back to Hebrews 11. Let's read this the way it's supposed to be read. And I hope I left myself enough time to do it, because it's important. But I'll get you at least started with it. We see, brethren, by the Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit, is what faith is all about. It's nothing you do or nothing you can do. When you read through Hebrews 11, every time you see the word faith, you read Spirit. And then you're going to start to see the glory of God. And you're going to stop, because we have this stupid definition of faith in our mind. And it's our own. And it's by ourselves. And it's from ourselves. And faith comes from God and God alone. And it's by the Spirit. We're going to read Hebrews, or at least go through fairly fast in Hebrews 11. And every time the word faith is there, we're going to put in the word Spirit. And then you're going to see the picture of what God is doing and what God has done and what He'll always do. It's not your faith, it's His strength. It's His faith. Now look at this. Starting in verse 1 of Hebrews 11. Now the Spirit is the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, it was by the Spirit the elders obtained a good report. It was through the Spirit, in verse 3. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It's by that Spirit we understand it, isn't it? So that things which are seen we know, see, they were made by God, not things that appear. Verse 4, it was by the Spirit. It was by the Spirit Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And later here it says, God testifying of his gifts. He had the Spirit around him. It was supposed to happen. It wasn't his goodness, it was God's Spirit. And by those gifts. Verse 5, it was by the Spirit Enoch was translated that he should not see death, at least in that spot. As you go back in history, it wasn't by his faith this happened. It was by the Spirit and power of God that this happened. How could his faith translate him anywhere? Couldn't. But God's Spirit could. Verse 6, but without the Spirit, it is impossible to please him. Isn't that right? Can't please him without that. For he that comes to God must believe. See, the only way you can believe is through his Spirit. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't have the Spirit, you won't diligently seek him. 7. By the Spirit, Noah, being warned of God of the things that were coming. It was by that Spirit he did that and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith or by Spirit. It was all done by the Spirit. Verse 8. By the Spirit, Abraham, when he was called to do this, he went it. He did it. By the Spirit he sojourned in the land of promise. See? All of this by the Spirit. It was in verse 11, by the Spirit also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. It wasn't her faith. Did her faith allow her to start having children again? Well, of course not. It was by the Spirit of God that did that and did that miracle. Verse 13, these all of the prophets of old, these all died in faith, or in that Spirit, not having received the promises. See, they were run by the Spirit. They weren't first fruits. But having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. It's always through the Spirit that this is done. Always. Verse 21. Verse 20. Anytime it starts, by faith. See, by the Spirit. Spirit, Isaac did it. By the Spirit, Jacob did it. And Joseph did it. 23, by the Spirit, that power, Moses, when he was born, caused his parents, say, to do this. Verse 24, by the Spirit, Moses, when he came, he didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's why he went with the Israelites. Verse 27, by the Spirit he forsook Egypt. That's what it was. Verse 28, through the Spirit he kept the Passover. And by the Spirit they passed through the Red Sea. It's always, and you can continue on, he lists all these other ones, King David and Samuel. Oh, look at them all here. All the way through. It was always by the Spirit of God that this happened. The women received their dead in verse 35. Raised to life again. It didn't happen by anyone's faith. It happened by the Spirit giving them those fruits. Okay? And it goes through. Verse 37. It was by the Spirit they had the power to do this. They were sawn asunder. They were slain by the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, tormented. All of these things. They lived in caves. These are all the people who came before us, the ones that God worked through His power of His Spirit. Verse 39, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. See, through that Spirit they obtained a good report because the Spirit drove them and led them. But they still did not receive that promise and they died. That promise was the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us the first fruits, than them, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. If we as the first fruits are not resurrected and brought into that kingdom of God as spirit beings, as Jesus Christ is, then they won't be made perfect either. You know, each in his own order. And they've set all these examples through the power of God's Spirit. And the seven eras of the church has been done exactly the way God wanted it, through the power of His Spirit. Jesus Christ spoke all of His words by the power of the Spirit and the words of the Father. And He says, I can't do anything. And He meant it. Can you say that? Are you going to try to use the Spirit next time? Or are you going to get on your knees and ask God, give me the fruits of the Spirit? Give me love, give me faith, give me strength, that whatever works you do within me, give honor and glory to you, because that's why we're here. And Paul continues here in chapter 12. He says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud, witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. See, with the Spirit of God, let us run this race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who's the author, and He will finish what He does. And He'll finish that work within you, who for the joy that was set before Him and endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down in the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we're not supposed to faint at all of this. We're supposed to do it. All of this subject about faith is for the glory of our Father in heaven. That's why we've been telling you. This is a new message. It's not your faith. It's the Father's will. It's His strength within you. We are His children right now. We are His children. He is our Father. He must give us these fruits. We don't do it on our own. And He will finish His plan with us. You know, brethren, we ought to have this thing in mind about faith. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not us. Abraham didn't do it. Go back and read it. And every time you see the word faith, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit. How can anyone take credit for that? You can't. We better pray that we have faith. And that's in us because that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now next week, we're going to go into something that goes right hand in hand with this. Over in James 2, verse 20, it says, faith without works is dead. Wow, we're finally starting to understand the fear of God and faith. But now he says, if there's no works, he says, faith is dead. Next week, I'll give you the title already. How do I have works? Faith without works is dead. Got to have those. So we're going to go into works. What are these works? Again, are they your works? What works is he talking about? We should see a little plainer right now that the faith that we always thought we had to get going and we had to get and build up and show God wasn't there at all. Any faith that we'll ever have comes from God, and thank God for that. Thank God that we can give him all the glory and the strength and the power. All that comes from him. Abraham wasn't better than you, my friends. He didn't have more character than you. Well, he may have. I can't judge that. But he didn't have more faith than you by and of himself. That faith was given by God to complete what God wanted to do. And we see that that was a great plan that God started back there with Abraham. To have the Israelites all the way through. He established Jerusalem through that. He established the line that Jesus Christ would come through. That had to happen. That wasn't a guess on their part. They didn't wait. The Father and the Word didn't sit around and wonder whether he was going to do this. They knew he was going to do it. That's why they sent an angel. They didn't have to wait around for it. They knew he was going to do it. Didn't have any choice in it. Just that you didn't have a choice coming into this church if you're a true first fruit. You are led by that Spirit. So, again, remember all of our brethren around this world. God leads us all through that Spirit. And that he truly does give us faith. Because it is a fruit of his Spirit. And it's a good fruit. And it gives us the encouragement. And it gives us the strength. And it gives us the confidence that we need that we are his children. So have a good week. Pray for one another. And we'll see you back here next week. And we'll talk about works at that time.